terms of reference and according to the financial reporting and accounting manual. So, Michael, if you want to come up and, anywhere, have a seat or stand, and we'll start.
That mic is on. All right, perfect. Well, thank you, everybody, for having me this morning. I'm sure a long weekend you want to come and talk to your auditor. So thank you for being here. I'm Michael Beliveau, a partner at Beliveau Vino in town. There are a couple others who will be working on the audit this year, Michelle Laird, Austin Lee, who have worked on it in previous years, and Brooke McDonald. Well, so they'll be joining Elena and her team here next week to start the field work for the project. The audit fee for this year is $22,500. So this is the second year of a quote that lasts until March 31st of 2027. So a couple of things just to go through from an auditor perspective in our process, just to give you a better understanding of how we work. But we take a risk-based approach. So we look at the audit and the financial statements from where would the most risk be, and then from that we align our work to fit that, to get down to a level that we're comfortable that the statements wouldn't be materially misstated. So there are three types of risks. So one is inherent risk. So that's when there's something that's going on that just due to the very nature of it, there's more risk than something else. So the big one generally most people look at is cash. Cash is riskier than someone doing a debit card or a Visa because you have a better transactional flow. If someone gives someone cash and it goes somewhere, there's inherent risk there that it might not go to the same place or get credited against the right account because there's no actual evidence of that dollar bill when it gets into the bank. So often if you're involved with any not-for-profits or charitable organizations, you'll see the statements will have a modified opinion there saying that they're unable to come up with to be sure that the donation receipts are correct. So there's normally a modified opinion there just saying there's no way to say that $100 that came in was actually submitted by person X and the charity received trail. So in order to combat some of the inherent risks, the other risk is control risks. So we have, that's whether the control will prevent a misstatement from happening. So that's why oftentimes you'll hear about segregation of duties or those controls in place to make sure to limit that ability for an error to occur. So when it comes to cash being received, if there's someone else who does the deposit, someone else is reconciling the bank, et cetera. So that's why there's multiple people touching things during the trail to avoid that misstatement because you have several eyes looking at it. The third risk would be detection risk, and that's just the risk that an auditor will not be able to detect a risk. So kind of back to not having a trail is an issue, so an auditor can't do it, or it could be the size of an error, any other factors. So we use those three kind of risk factors, and then we join it with materiality. So the concept of materiality is what would impact a decision a user of the statements would use those statements. So if the statements are out by, let's just say, $2, is that going to make a difference in a choice you would have made in reference to those financial statements? So depending on the size of the organization generally, if it's a larger organization, that materiality number is higher. If it's a smaller organization, the materiality number is lower just because $100 might matter to one organization where, if you're a large company, maybe it's actually $500,000. With that idea in mind, why that comes into play is if we just said, every $1 matters and we need to test to that, we would have to do so much audit work to make sure that those numbers are correct, and we'd be getting into kind of the area of forensic audits, that the cost to have us do that, it just wouldn't work in a sense. You would see our statements, that's why they always say these are not materially missed. That's why that number's there, that there is a little lead. So that's kind of our approach and what we're looking at when we're doing work. As far as the audit committee, one thing to stress is that the audit committee has full access to the auditor. So if there's anything throughout the process or that comes up over time, wanted to reach out to us as the audit committee or as a member of the audit committee, is open. Happy to have it. The internal control letter of the prior year, there was nothing noted or identified that we'd be concerned about this year. management letter, the only thing noted was the adoption of the PS 3280 asset retirement obligations. This is a new accounting standard put in place in the current year. There was an early adoption last year that wasn't done, but it has to be adopted this year. So the asset retirement obligation is basically looking at the assets that you have as an organization. Using the building as the easiest example, if there's asbestos in the building, and we know that in order to sell that building at whatever time in the future that there's going to be a liability that you'd have to clean that up before sale, the matter of getting those. A lot of the work has already been done by your team, Elena, so I won't go too much into that. If you do have questions on the process, I'd probably defer it to be able to provide the answers on the process that they as an auditor this year, that's going to be one of the bigger spots we're going to be looking at to follow that process and everything that went through and come up with the estimates so that we're comfortable with the number that's on. That's the big change this year that you would have. And so I kind of leave that my little spiel, but if there's any questions or concerns from the committee, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions, Mayor Bolivar-Getson?
I just wanted to go back to the segregation of duties, and I know that that was something that was raised years ago, but to your knowledge at this point, that has all been addressed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so so we look at it every year, kind of get further into our process. There's a couple streams. You have a revenue stream, you have a payable stream, and you have your payroll stream are kind of the big three. So at the start with our audits is we go through with Elena and her team of actually walking through that process. So when money hits the counter, what happens, right until it hits the sub-ledger and it clears this. So we're comfortable with the process. You're lucky enough that you have a solid infrastructure and the resources in place to be able to put those segregations in place. Sometimes with smaller organizations, if you only have two people or one person doing all of it, you're limited but in reasonable. So, yeah, there's not a concern on our end.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Perfect, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so, sure, I'll pass it back over to Elena.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Michael did go over all of the committee requirements in terms of reference on what you need to know pre-audit. So I guess a couple of the things is that if there's anything that the committee wants to discuss with the auditor this morning, you know, in camera, that you certainly have an opportunity to do that. And if not, then that would be up to you.
Okay, so looking around the room, is there any need to go in camera? I'm not seeing any indication. Okay, so no in camera. So the pre-audit instructions, is that you've already covered that? Okay, wonderful. So that concludes the audit committee meeting, short and sweet. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Thank you. Councillor Wynot and seconded by Councillor Vino. All those in favour? And passed. Thank you very much.